welcome back. Time to talk to Mitchell Henderson. Hello, Mitch. How was the weekend?
Hello. Well, it was good.
Did you figure out, and I mused about this last hour, what the hell did Putin go to Alaska for? They could have done that on the phone. They didn't do anything. Nothing was released. Nothing shocking. Nothing really happened. I don't understand. Well, it. Was Trump just trying to improve his prestige? Is that what he was doing? And Putin got suckered into it, or did he? Or is that a favor trading example?
Well, you know, some people actually think that Putin punked Trump with his visit and stuff. Okay, so it's got kind of a different reading.
I didn't hear that one. That's interesting.
But the liberals, they like to say that Putin got it over on Trump because if they're going to say anything, it's going to be something bad about Trump. So just reflexively. But, you know, they're Marxists, they're haters, and so they just, whatever it is that they can say to hate, they're going to do. What my understanding was, from what I kind of filtered from everything that I read internationally on it, was that what happened at this meeting is that Putin basically broke it all down for Trump. Like, this is what caused the war. We're not going to settle for anything less than eliminating those causes. We do not want a ceasefire. We want a final peace treaty where it stops, okay? It's not going to be peace. Okay, so this whole time, this whole week leading up to today when these people are meeting, most of the neocons and most of the people in the Trump administration, much of the generals, they're all saying, well, what we want is a frozen conflict. And, well, that's exactly what Russia does not want. Russia will not accept a frozen conflict. They might as well keep on going if that's what it's going to be. The Europeans, they were insisting on a ceasefire. So Trump finally just told him, well, yeah, the ceasefire is not going to work. So I think Putin made it clear to him that he said from day one they would not accept a ceasefire from day one of the war.
No, they've
but
never
that's not what, that, what they want.
That's right.
It's the ceasefire is useless because that's what the Minsk Accords of 2014 was. They had a ceasefire there, it was all for nothing. And it led to more war. So Putin is uninterested in the ceasefire. He finally got that through Trump's head that there will be no ceasefires. Either a final treaty or nothing.
Trump is what a disgrace. He keeps changing his story. It doesn't matter. He's like an automatic transmission, shifting back and forth between truth and lies. It doesn't. The guy has no ethics at all, and he's stupid. I don't believe he's smart. I don't believe he's well-informed, and I think you're probably correct. Trump sat there and was schooled by Putin. And by the way, explain why you pronounce it Putin, and that there's a reason for it, and so people know, and it's a valid reason.
The reason I say Putin instead of Putin is because I pronounce everything in English, okay? So Putin is how you would pronounce it in English, okay? It's like my mother's family, they're all from Slovakia, okay? So their name is like Marancin, Popiak, Marinko. The way that I just said those Slovak names, that is not how you say it in Slovakia. Okay, that is not the correct Slovakian pronunciation of my family names. So when I say Marincin or Popiak or Marinko or Risik or something, those are American pronunciations of their names. That's American English pronunciation of their names. So if I'm going to do that in my own family, I'm going to do that to everybody. Not only that, but it's sort of like, I saw this YouTube thing where this newscaster is saying, Well, you know, whenever somebody says a Hispanic name, they'll go Hector Martinez or something. But then if they're talking about an Irish guy that got arrested, they don't say, oh, Tommy O'Houlihan. You know, they don't say that. They just say Tommy O'Houlihan, you know.
Got it.
So,
yeah.
So you should just say it. For example, there's a street here in my town called Cesar Chavez, okay? So that's an American way to say Cesar Chavez. Chavez. That's how we would say it. In Spanish, it's Cesar Chavez, okay? So
Got
it's pronounced
it.
Differently. But I will mm-hmm. pronounce things the way that you pronounce them in English. For example, I speak fluent Spanish. I know how to pronounce it the Spanish way. But you know what? This is America, and we speak English here. And I will pronounce
Thank
things
you.
in an English, American English fashion. Okay? So I speak Spanish, but I'm not going to say it that way on the radio. Just as my family, my mother's family is from Slovakia, but I do not pronounce their names a Slovak way. I pronounce it an American way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's just, I just stick to one language, basically.
You know that... Another angle to this thing, and thank you for that again, is Trump. They're going to give him the Nobel Peace Prize. You know that it's set up. He's going to get it, just like Obama got it, and he'll be. What an unconscionable act to give him a peace prize. Here he is continually paying with American tax dollars for the massacre of endless numbers of human beings in Gaza. And now on the West Bank, the so-called settlers, these Israeli settlers, that's just a paramilitary thug organization. They went into an olive grove and grabbed two young Palestinian men who were taking care of, they were there, apparently their trees, grabbed them and hung them. And nobody did anything. They killed them. They hung them from the trees. These settlers are every bit as evil as the IDF or any of the other aspects of this Zionist killing machine. This is all it is. Doctors in Gaza are reporting how the IDF clearly is targeting children to try to shoot them in the head. It's sport for them. These people are psychopaths. They're insane. And no one talks about it.
Well, here's the thing: is Trump is only thinking about his Nobel Peace Prize.
Okay? That's all.
But let me tell you, the people who are behind him are not thinking about that. Okay, what they're thinking about is American grand strategy. They want to keep Eurasia divided. Like the United States signed this peace treaty between Azerbaijan and Armenia, where the United States has got a contract to build and control the road along the Armenian border with Iran. Okay, this at first glance doesn't seem like any big deal, but actually through Georgia and Armenia is how Russia gets arms into Iran, because the relations with Azerbaijan are not that great.
Well, this road is being built now, Mitch? Is it under construction?
Yes,
is that the deal?
Yes. Okay. As soon as they ratify the treaty, American contractors, military contractors, will control the road. Okay, we'll build it, then we'll have the military force there to do it. And
so Russia will
reason,
have to fly everything in? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. In other words, now they can go by road, but once they cut the border between... once the United States gains control of the border between Armenia and Iran, they've created a blockade. Okay, basically, the land blockade. So this is just more division by the United States itself is what it is. So we still have the United States is very 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 gotten very pushy with India, and demanding that India quit buying oil from Russia. And what we've done is we've really alienated India big time. India, well, we're stirring up trouble between India and Pakistan in order to create trouble between China and Russia. It's not working. India's in major talks with China. I think China and India will soon resolve their issues, okay? Because remember what China has done in the past is to countries that are good neighbors to them, they resolve the issue in favor of the other country. Okay, China's not going to really quibble over just a little bit of land. Okay, what it is the principle. Because, see, every country that was not allied to the United States or Great Britain or Europe, every country not aligned with them settled with China a long time ago and always on favorable terms to them. That's how they settled the issue, is China was sort of generous in the settlement to their neighboring countries, okay, to settle their borders and stuff. I expect China probably will be generous to India too in this thing, and it will help bring the relations between India and China in good, because see if China, India, and Russia are all on friendly terms and all working together. Wow, what a powerhouse that's going to be! That's over half of humanity, right?
Gotcha.
Then add in Brazil and Indonesia and the other BRICS countries, and I spoke about this once before. It's much a bigger economy than the NATO G7 economy. Okay, so what Trump is doing by trying to bully Russia is he's pushing people away from us. He's not dividing India from China and India from Russia and China from Russia. He's dividing them from us.
Hmm. Okay.
So,
well, that's a good overview. We don't hear much about what you're talking about.
No. Well, the thing is listen, the drift to war, I still stand by World War III began on June 22nd of this year. If there was a post-war period, there were histories of the war. I'm pretty sure that they would put World War III as starting on June 22nd. Okay, so now is just the time. Israel's building up its forces. It fully intends to have another go-around with Iran. Now they have America on their side. America's going to get involved in that fighting, too, okay? I think Iran's trying to get all their ducks in a row before this fight happens, okay? And, they're fighting for their lives, you know? They are fighting for their lives. So I don't think they're going to... They've been stalling now because they weren't really, they didn't consider themselves ready for war. There's a lot of logistics that go into a war, because that actually logistics is sort of what's going to win the war. You know, if you don't have the munitions, the troops, the supplies to feed in things,
that's always been the case.
Well,
you're
just
correct.
Can't fight.
Yeah, and that's not the glamorous part of war, if there is such a thing.
It's not
flashy headlines, but it's what carries the day. You're right.
So along those lines, the war that China just had with India was extremely important to China, okay, because what China has done, China's been trying to modernize its military, and what they did, the big, if you look in the Chinese military press, which I know not everybody knows how to look into it, but it's actually, there's a lot of places you could go and look. You just have to hunt. But anyways, in the Chinese military press, the big thing they're talking about in the China-India war that they had just now was that China really focused on logistics. They put some major logistical, like generals and units down on the border and stuff to get supplies under very trying circumstances, to get supplies to the Chinese troops, to be able to repair equipment, on the scene and stuff. And this is not just food and water. This is fuel. This is everything that they need. And it was a resounding success. They got into their groove on logistics. Okay, this is something that America basically won World War One and Two. How we won in both wars was really the logistics. We had logistics that were to die for. Okay, even the Soviet troops, when they ran into the American troops in Germany along the Alps, the Soviet troops were like, "Oh man, if we had what the Americans had, we would have been here a year ago." You know, so the Soviets actually realized that too, and that was something that they started doing during the Cold War. They were actually very on top of trying to improve their logistics and stuff. So logistics is very important. I mean, well, if you look at World War II, we should mention, Mitch, that the
Soviet logistics were basically unlimited human wave assaults. That was it.
Yes.
So they moved their men up, and they had the material, but they had wave after wave that they'd launched toward the German positions, and behind each wave, oh, I don't know, 15 feet, 20 feet, there'd be commissars with submachine guns, and if anybody hesitated, they were shot in the back. So they all moved forward, and by the time the fourth or fifth wave got to the line of engagement, they were walking over the bodies of their own countrymen, three and four deep in places. This is true. The Germans literally could not kill the opposition fast enough. They couldn't do it.
So Putin's not that way. Putin has a demographic problem with Russians, ethnic Russians, and he doesn't want them all killed off. It's like, you know, when there's days go by in Ukraine where, you know, anywhere from 40 to 100 Ukrainians minimum die per day, and Russian deaths will be in the single digits per day. The single digits. Putin doesn't want to throw his troops' lives away. He doesn't want to do it. Okay.
Well, it must hurt him. He's lost 100,000 dead by now. It's got to be
something like that, which is too many for him.
That's why North Korean troops are there. Other countries have sent troops, but primarily North Korea. They're taking their new tanks now over with them to deploy those against the Ukrainians. I'm surprised that after 3 years plus, the Ukrainians still have not been expelled from the Donbass completely. They're still holding on to parts of the Donbass. I don't know where they're coming up with
this. They have that place so fortified, it's not funny. Okay? It's just been a slugfest, but here's the thing that you have to realize is that they're learning, they're adjusting tactics, they're trying new things out, they're getting better organized and stuff. Korea sent its soldiers there because you have to realize the Koreans had not been, North Koreans have not been in a war since 1953. They don't have battle-hardened and experienced troops and stuff. And Kim Jong-un, he wanted to send soldiers down there because he wanted to get them blooded, okay? Because all those guys who went down there, they're going to be the core of the non-commissioned officers in the North Korean army up there. He's gonna spread those battle-hardened people around into the other units and have some war-experienced people there. So when they do their training, he's going to have people in his units that know what combat is like because, see, they haven't had it since 1953. That's almost 75 years.
And if he is going to eventually attack the South, his battle-hardened troops will make possibly the difference.
Yes.
Think about
it. So that was very important to North Korea. It wasn't just altruistic. In other words, Kim had in mind some very practical things. Okay, this also gave junior officers some experience in battle because they need it. They need to see what the conditions are really like so that they can practice real leadership and stuff. Okay, so let's go to China, and let's look at the way the United States looks at China. And see, we get their military all wrong because we think they're building up a military to conquer the world. Okay, which is absurd. China's not interested in conquering the world. They want to do business with the world, but they don't want to conquer the world. They're uninterested. China's been here for 4,000 years, Jeff, and they are what they are. They're not really interested in expanding. China wants to control China. They're uninterested in controlling other countries.
And be the dominant power in all of Southeast Asia. In fact, Asia, period. But yes, you're 100% right. They don't want to control the world.
China's just doing business with its neighbors, and that's what they want to do. They want to do business with their neighbors.
Yes.
So when we look at their military, what we have to understand is that what China's going to do, you were talking about the wave attacks and stuff, okay? So what China wants to do, what China's trying to do, okay, is we have American fleets that will try to support Taiwan that have to travel over 7,000 miles of ocean, okay? China has been going gangbusters with hypersonic missles. They could have shore-based anti-ship missiles that could hit American ships out to Guam and further, okay?
Yep.
And they can swarm them.
Yep.
And the Chinese know about swarming. I mean, during the Korean War, when they attacked American positions, we had better firepower than the Chinese did. Not only did we have, and that's in our rifle. So, our rifle we're using the M1 Garand, which is a good semi-automatic weapon. Plus, we have mortars, we have field artillery, we have air support. So we had a lot of stuff in Korea. So they had to overcome that, and the only way they could think of to overcome that was to swarm our positions. Well, they took us all the way back into South Korea in Dongtan Flat. Okay.
Yeah.
So it works. We may not think it's very pretty, but it works. Not only that, but the soldiers that they were sending, those were the politically unreliable soldiers. So these soldiers were basically nationalist soldiers that were sent up to Korea to die for China.
Gotcha.
Okay.
That's right.
What China's going to do to our Navy is they're going to swarm our Navy, but not just with people, obviously not with people. It'll be
technology.
With anti-ship weapons and drones and stuff. I mean, each cruiser can take 29 incoming things at a time. So, let's send 200, 300 things for them to deal with. That stuff is going to get through. And I keep saying, and I think it's very true, is what happened is in the 1930s with Billy Mitchell showed that these huge, very expensive battleships could be sunk with a very inexpensive airplane with a bomb on it. Okay, so we went into this hybrid phase where the capital ship became an aircraft carrier. We put airplanes on ships because they could go out and find the other ships like at Midway and sink them.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So this was inexpensive, relatively speaking. It was pretty cheap. Okay. So now we've come up to the technology where we have hypersonic weapons that nothing can shoot down, and that a hypersonic weapon missile is a lot cheaper than a aircraft carrier is. Okay.
So now when people think of war, Mitch, they think back to World War II. There will never be anything like World War II again.
No.
There's not going to be 1,000 bombers launched over Germany to annihilate the population. You'll never see flights of 1,000 planes, not even 500 planes. You won't see it. It's all missiles, all cruise missiles, and artillery, mobile artillery, all the time. And ship, I wouldn't want to be on a ship on a bet. Not now.
Well,
no way.
No, not even that, but... The Battle of Leyte Gulf in 1944, the Battle of Leyte Gulf was the largest naval battle in history to that point. And guess what? There'll never be one that big again.
No. Not,
because of the weapons, they cannot concentrate that many ships in that small of a space. They can't do it. Because now we're in the nuclear age. You know, you can send a nuclear bomb to a carrier fleet and wipe the whole thing out. Okay.
Easy. Not a problem.
So it's just not the same as it used to be. It's like our old weapons for projecting power have vulnerabilities, as we saw when this Israel war of 2023 started, and we decided to send aircraft carriers to the area. We had to keep them out of reach of land-based hypersonic missiles.
Now, good luck now.
We had to keep them all the way back to Greece.
Yeah,
we couldn't have them over off the coast of Israel and Lebanon because they could get hit with hypersonic missiles. So they were all way over by Greece and stuff, way out in the Arabian Sea. Okay, they have to keep them. They have to keep them at a safe distance, okay? So times have changed, okay? It's just like I was saying last time about our grand strategy for Eurasia of we got to keep it broken up. Well, why do we have to keep it broken up? Times have changed. We have new technology, and we don't have to. Russia is in the best place it's ever been, and I'll tell you why. Is because Russia's got land borders all around. It doesn't really have any protection from anything. So now, in the nuclear age, Russia finally can be concerned with Russia. It does not have to be concerned with forces going on its borders and stuff. Okay?
Uh-huh.
It can actually, protect itself with nuclear weapons and stuff. So can China. So can North Korea. I mean, that's one reason why Iran wants it. So they want to be able to protect themselves. They want to be able to mind their own business, do their own thing, and not be just pummeled by the United States and Israel anytime we feel like it. I mean, they have an obligation to protect their people also, just like we do. But let me tell you, the United States it's got nothing to do about protecting us. We got two big oceans. We got two weak countries on our borders. Nobody threatens the United States. There is no threat to the United States from any foreign country on Earth. There is none. The only country on Earth that threatens other countries is the United States. We are the bad guy. Okay? And once you can understand...
We've been the bad guy... For a long time, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It didn't just happen.
Yeah,
long time.
If you think about why Putin can't come to an agreement on something, it's because, this would be a good idea. We pull this idea out of our butt. That idea does not reflect reality in any way. It's just something that somebody... jumped up, that would be great and advantageous for us, but would be no good at all for anybody else, okay? So this is why countries can't agree with it. This is why BRICS, this is one of the things Putin has been doing, is he's been building up BRICS, he's been trying to build financial structures and stuff, because the world is tired of being bullied by the United States. If you want to do business with the United States,
yeah.
what will we do? We will sanction you. We will lay tariffs on you. We will embargo you. We will mess with you. You cannot make a business deal with the United States because the United States uses that to blackmail people. It's like, oh, yeah, you can do business with us, but then, you know, you have to do what we say. People would like to do business with us without having to be a gay feminist training nation, okay? They really would like
That's
to.
That's true.
You know? But they would like us to respect the fact that they don't want to be a gay, tranny, sodomite, feminist, abortion nation, okay? They maybe just don't want to do that, okay? So, and that's something that we really, that's one of the excuses we use to attack these countries, is that they don't accept gays, that they don't have enough women in power, that they're patriarchies and stuff. I mean, listen to the Marxism in that whole deal. This is Marxism trying to spread around the world, you know? That's what that is. It's Marxism. So, you know, listen, me, when you watch the news, people, I want you to pay attention to something. Okay, you know, you hear, oh, Adam Schiff did this, and James Comey did this, and, oh, they've got all this evidence and stuff. I want you to pay attention to something. Marxists have impunity. Zionists have impunity. Wake up. Marxists and Zionists have impunity. Okay?
Yeah.
So, like, I was listening to Yuval Noah Hariri just today, and his take on what's going on in Israel. Israel will become greater Israel and will redefine what Judaism is. Okay, that's what this monster is thinking of. This is the high priest of the World Economic Forum, mind you. Okay?
Yeah.
He is a voice piece for Zionism.
What's he saying? They're going to redefine Israel or Judaism.
They're going to redefine Judaism because see Israel, this Zionist Israel, they're going to succeed in taking all the land and creating greater Israel, and they're going to succeed militarily, and they're going to succeed economically and financially, and so Jews are going to have to redefine what Judaism is. Okay.
What self-serving definition are they going to concoct for that?
Well, that it's okay if Jews commit ethnic cleansing and genocide, and if Jews can be totally immoral, and that's okay.
That.
Okay,
now they're worse than that.
So,
it's worse.
Yeah. So, you know, this is what his thinking is, but you have to realize something. That's all just a pipe dream without the United States. So the United States is slaves.
Without the United
Israel.
States taxpayers.
Right. That's right. They can't do anything. Israel would cease to exist if the United States did not support them. If Donald J. Trump really wanted world peace, he could back off Russia, India, and China. He could stop supporting Ukraine. Stop supporting Israel, and we'd have world peace, prosperity, and all that kind of stuff.
Don't hold your breath, friends. We know that's not happening.
That is not going to happen.
No chance.
It's not going to happen. No.
No.
We're headed inexorably towards World War III, okay? I mean, we are in World War III, and we are headed spiraling into the point where it's going to break bad at some point, okay? There's going to be lots of disruptions.
There'll be a Gulf
Things
of there'll be a
Tonkin worse.
Yeah, there'll be a Tonkin event.
Yeah.
Somebody will stage to when they want a hot war. They'll just trigger that, and it'll happen.
Well, I think Israel will just launch its attack on Iran, and then it'll be on. Yeah, it'll be on.
Well,
at that
the
point.
Iranians are going
it's
to
that
are going
easy.
To you know. The Iranians only used five. Wait, I don't know if this is true. Again, we don't know. Allegedly, only used about 5% of their ballistic missile forces to do that much damage.
I think they only used 1% of their ballistic missile
well,
forces.
Well, whatever. They're going to slam Israel.
Yeah.
They are.
And you got to remember the last time, the news didn't cover it that well, but the last time when they struck Israel, they were hitting home. They were making good strikes.
Oh, next time. I only saw a video of one hypersonic missile hit. They have, I don't know how many, scores, hundreds of hypersonic missiles that are unstoppable. Israel is going to be very badly damaged, let's put it that way, if not nearly annihilated. If the Iranians can pull the trigger and get these weapons off, there's no stopping them. The Iron Dome is an iron sieve. It's not going to stop them. No way.
Well, they ran out of missiles this time. This is what Israel's doing right now. Is they're trying to restock. Yeah. They're trying to get things back together. They're getting ready to do something. One thing that they started doing, they started to slam a lot of propaganda at the United States. Mm-hmm. Now they're showing a lot of videos of hot Israeli chicks and stuff. These are war criminals. These are disgusting war criminals. These are baby-killing women that they're showing. You know, the attitude, I don't think they're getting the same attitude that they got before. Okay, I think a lot of people are thinking, these are scum. These women are not hot women. They are scum. They're Jezebels. You know, they're evil.
This is a pure satanic evil. You don't kill babies. You don't shoot pregnant women in the stomach. You don't do this. This is not human behavior. Sorry, doesn't work.
Yeah.
And for you 50 million or however many Christian Zionists, you support this? And you can look at yourselves in the mirror? This is nuts.
You know, listen, once again, Israel is Antichrist. Israel is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
They are there.
Yeah.
They are as evil as you could be. They are the most evil that you could be.
I concur.
So, we're headed down this path. There's this narrative that Christian Zionists have that God will intervene at the last moment to save Israel. I just don't know how they can do the math here because, according to the mathematics, only 144,000 people will survive the attack on Israel. There's 7 million Jews there. Only 144,000 will survive. That does not sound like they're being saved. That does not sound like victory. It sounds like they get wiped out, and I think it is. They will get wiped out. This is it.
Right.
They're going to wipe them out. They're going to get wiped out this time.
I'm afraid they're asking for it. There's nothing, by the way, there's not one anti-Semitic element in what we've been talking about here. These are simply geopolitical military facts. That's all they are, facts. And if you can't deal with the facts, good luck. Have a nice trip.
Yep.
Wherever you go.
So,
you're not dealing with reality.
So it's still coming on. I think that these peace talks will not end in peace. I can't see it. The only way that this could work, I think the Europeans and the Zelensky's just humoring Trump at this point, acting like they're going to go along with this. But let me tell you, if Putin tried to do what Trump wants him to do, Putin would be committing political suicide to do that. Okay. Putin cannot give up what he has gained. He can't do it. Why should he do it?
No, it's not.
Why should he?
He can't. It's not possible.
The strong hand here. He just won.
Trump is living. He's in a dream world. Come on, none of the stuff he's saying is logical, pragmatic. It's not going to happen, Donald. You're not living in a real world. It's that simple.
See, he's just said, and one day he says, "Oh, if they don't come away with a ceasefire, there'll be horrible circumstances for Russia." Well, see, he thinks that because he's a personal bully, that he can just bully the other people in the world. He's coming to the realization that other people in the world don't think that he or the United States or NATO is as powerful as we think we are. were kind of like in the darkness of hubris, where we think, oh, yeah, we're just so strong, so powerful. You know, I don't think you're going to find anybody, any serious naval officer would tell you that we could win in a Taiwan war. We can't win. We can't. It's like we keep pressing for a war. We're almost immediately confronted
with having to push the nuclear button. We don't have the tactical ability in a traditional sense to fight and win that war. You're right.
Not only that, but you know, just think about the idiocy of this. And this was Biden's arrogance and hubris. But we spent 20 years in Afghanistan fighting illiterate goat farmers who have no superpower support at all, and we lose. And then as soon as we're done with that, we want to pick a war with China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea at the same time. I mean, are we, you know, are they taking LSD up there or what? You know,
well, it might help them if they did.
I want you to just take this thing. When you look at General Donahue, who's now the leader of NATO, look at Donahue and then look at Cavoli. These men have run the war in Ukraine. That what you see in Ukraine is American strategy, American tactics, okay? The Russians know this. The Russians know we have incompetent generals and incompetent leaders.
Yeah, these two superpowers on a non-nuclear
level. Right, so they know. They know that we are. So, people, listen. I've got to impress upon you, go out there, buy it now. Get what you're going to get now. I mean, scrape your pennies together.
Wait.
Think about
don't
what
wait.
You need in the future. You need to get it now because it's going to disappear, you know?
Right. Don't think this is going to be as bad as it is, a 1929 crash and a recovery. There's not going to be a recovery from this thing, okay? Because what they are planning is the installation of their new global platform, which is coming after the crash. We're not going back to the way things are
now.
Those days are
great reset. Yeah.
That's right.
Did I tell you about the toilet paper thing? How that started with COVID?
Yeah. The great American mind.
The Australians thought, well, toilet paper comes from China, and they thought, oh, now that China's cutting everything off at the beginning of COVID, there won't be any toilet paper. So they went out and they bought toilet paper in a frenzy. But
how
the fact is Australia doesn't get its toilet paper from China. Toilet paper is usually made in your own country. Okay, so that spread immediately to the United States like wildfire. So this was a respiratory disease that everybody thought for some reason there'd be no toilet paper, like it was some diarrheal disease or something, when it wasn't, and everybody went and bought toilet paper, just hoarded toilet paper. So I want you to just think about that. What's going to happen in the near future, the things that are going to become scarce right away are not going to be things that necessarily follow any logic at all. Okay?
Nicely said.
There won't be a logic to it. Just like with toilet paper and COVID, okay?
No.
So you know, get your go bags together, get your vehicle, your personal go bags together, buy the things that you need, get it now. Get my book, The Final Wars at Amazon, How to Survive the Coming Civil War, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization, because that's what's going to be happening, okay? So this is available at Amazon, and I want you to read Chapter 9 so you understand the way these other countries think. As long as you listen to the American press, you're going to be asleep walking into this. You have to understand that China, Iran, North Korea, Russia, those people don't see things the way we do. They live in a different world than we do. And our world doesn't matter. Okay, they're going to do what they need to do. They're not going to do what we think they're going to do. They're going to do what they need to do to survive. Okay? And they're not stupid. As a matter of fact, I think I mentioned the IQs. The IQ of the average IQ in China is much higher than the United States. I think China, what was it, China, Russia, and Iran higher IQ than the United States, which is down at number 30 in IQ level in the world.
Well,
these are not stupid people we're dealing with.
And remember, those others with the higher IQs have social media. They have phones. They don't let the phones use them. They, more than we do, in most cases, I'm qualifying this, use the phone. They're the boss. They use them as tools, much more so than we do. We use them as some kind of an endorphin-producing escape vector. It's embarrassing.
Yes, 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 we do.
Oh, I got likes today. I got 20 likes. Good God.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, you know, I tried to experiment with this. I put ideas out there to see how many, if I say something totally logical, totally based in reality, it doesn't get very many likes at all. If I say some nonsense, just some knee-jerk nonsense, uh-huh. I'll get 1,000 likes in a minute. Okay.
Wow.
So, you know what that's telling me? That's telling me where people's heads are really,
Our culture is done. It's toast. Finished.
Let me tell you one thing that has changed, though, and that thing is this, is that a year ago, if I said the things that I say about Israel, about the Antichrist, about stuff like that, if I said that a year ago, I'd get maybe 1 or 2 likes. Okay, but if I say that now, I get a lot of likes now. This is showing a sea change.
People are waking up. That's true.
Wake up.
That's true.
People are waking up to Israel and what an evil entity it is. Even people are waking up to Russia, that Russia's not the bad guy. You know?
Right.
I mean, you have that gay tranny clown in Ukraine. Running the country
and he's still alive, Mitch. Remember, let's point that out.
Yes.
He is still alive.
He
would have been dead at the beginning, right away. The Russians would have killed him off. He's being protected. It's part of the game.
Yeah.
It's all set up.
It is very much. Well, it's like, listen, the World Economic Forum thinks everything is going as scheduled. That's what Hariri pretty much
said to me.
He thinks Israel is going to become greater Israel. They're going to have a great military victory in all this and stuff. Okay, this is they're on their way to the Great Reset.
He might want to think that over again.
Greater
Israel.
They're taking
more land all the time. They're taking Gaza City now because that's where they want to put the Trump resort. It's on the water and it's right there.
there's just some of the things that they're suggesting are actually just absurdities. So. It's Trump trolling the world.
Ludicrous. Just every time I see the guy, he looks like a buffoon. Now, I don't, of course, want Biden back. We don't want the camel in there. The bottom line is we've got trash at the top levels no matter where you look. No good people want anything to do with that lifestyle, that kind of business. They stay away from smart people.
Like I said, it was between Zionism and Marxism. What the Marxists did in March of 2023, the Marxists abstained to vote at the UN and let the UN Security Council pass a resolution against Israel. That was the end of the Marxists being in power. Biden-Harris wasn't going to make it after that. Okay?
That's true. Because
listen, Zionism and Marxism are two sides of the same coin. Marxism is the method, and Zionism is the goal. Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right. As always, Mitch Henderson, buy his book, Just go to Amazon and type in Mitchell Henderson. You'll find the book, The Final Wars. It is utterly unique on the landscape, full of vital, literally life and death information on how to survive. And I don't know when, but it's just a question of time. They're going to do this. They're going to pull it. The crash is underway now, and it is irrevocable what's going on. You're not going to roll it back. And the plan is not to roll it back, so keep that in mind. All right. Mitch, thank you. Talk soon.
Okay, take care. You're welcome. Okay, good night.
Anderson, The Final Wars, Amazon. All right, we'll be back. Hold on.